Welcome to Vanguardia America. I'm your host, James Garcia, and today we're going to talk about Latino voting trends around the country in anticipation of the November 8th election midterms, of course. And we have two great guests today. We have Rafael Collazo, the executive director of the Unidos U.S. Action Fund and Action PAC, and Dorian Cao, who is the director of civic engagement research for the National Association of Latino Elected Appointed Officials Educational Fund. It's a mouthful. I want to thank you for both being on. I'd like to talk generally about just observations as we start to approach the midterms, which are just around the corner. And also, if we can, at some point, I want to get into just kind of the communications that are going out there with regards to a variety of organizations messaging that is frankly misinformation that's going to the Latino community, oftentimes in Spanish, sometimes in English, and see how that's kind of shaping the races. But let's start, Rafael, if you don't mind. What's your kind of big picture assessment of the impact that we expect to see this go around in the midterm elections in terms of Latino voters across the country?
Thank you, James, for inviting us on your program. Always great to talk to you and your listeners and to partner with Dorian and our great friends at NALEO. I think that it's very clear that Latinos are going to determine the makeup of the Senate and amongst many other very important federal and state offices, including governor's races in places like Arizona and other key states around the country. What we're seeing is that there's a great interest in the Latino community in these midterm elections. And they have very strong opinions about the issues that they care about, but there still at times is a significant amount of the Latino community is not being provided accurate information from candidates or parties, and even basic information about the voting process. And that vacuum and lack of information can lead to, unfortunately, at times misinformation by bad actors creeping into our timelines, our DMs, and other methods of communication. So that's why it's so important that organizations like NALEO and Unidos US are provided the opportunity to provide the Latino community accurate information about the political process.
All right. So let's just start with the Senate races. Right now, we, of course, have a 50-50 split in the U.S. Senate, with the vice president being the deciding vote on so many major issues. What makes you think that Latinos in particular could be such a deciding vote?
Well, if you just look at the senatorial map, so a third, as in every midterm election, about approximately a third of the Senate races are up for election this year. And in a 50-50 split, you really have only about 9 to 11 competitive ones, races. And if you look at the map of those 11 states, half of them have significant Latino populations. This certainly will determine or swing the outcome of the election either way. Notable states, including your home state, of course, James, Arizona, sort of ground zero and typifies what the Latino influence map looks like. Nevada, your neighboring state, and even Colorado in the West. Florida is another notable state with a significant Latino population that certainly will have a big say in who represents the next senator is or who gets potentially reelected. And then there's another handful of states that have growing, emerging Latino sort of swing vote populations where the voter turnout will be in the 5 to 10% range of the total electorate. So in very close races in places like Georgia, my home state of Pennsylvania, and even in North Carolina or Wisconsin, the Latino electorate will be a swing vote, and some would argue would determine in a very close election who represents those states in the Senate. So, you know, the map is looking like the Latino community is going to have a very big say in the makeup of the Senate one way or another.
Dorian, talk big picture for me about how many Latinos out there are going to be voting in this election cycle out of the eligible population, and what are some of the top issues that they have been talking about in the surveys that you do? Because I know you guys are doing weekly surveys on Latino voter sentiment.
So I think part of it is we actually had we did a projections for our national and a few states as well. And what we saw from our projections is that there's an estimated around 11.6 million Latinos that are projected to cast a ballot this upcoming November. And this would basically mean that it would be similar to what we saw with regards to the Latino share, as we saw in 2018, and a 34.1% increase from 2014. all of this to say is that certainly, as Rafael was stating, is that Latinos are really going to have an impact on these upcoming midterm elections. And one of the things that we've been seeing consistently, that the economy certainly and issues around high cost of living, for example, have been top of mind, hovering around close to half of all of those that responded to our survey saying that is their top issue. However, there are other issues that are also important to Latinos that, again, sometimes we always think about Latinos thinking about just a few issues or just one issue, for example. However, not only are the issues very diverse that Latinos are really looking at, but also sometimes some people might say surprising, right, that it is sort of considered a very important issue. And for one of them is women's reproductive rights and abortion rights specifically. And that's hovered around 28%, but it has been consistently the second top issue Latinos leading up to the midterm election.
In terms of what your expectation will be with regards to turnout, I've been hearing a lot of reports in the last several days about the volume of voters total overall who are going to be going to the polls and the expectation that they will be breaking records. Are Latinos also going to be part of that trend as well?
Through our projections, we are expecting a high number and certainly one that would match 2018 numbers, which we, you know, if we recall, it was a pretty high turnout. And in fact, it was a record turnout for, you know, we hadn't seen numbers that high for at least a few decades. So I think with that in mind, I do think that there is some indication that certainly Latinos can come out and vote, right, at really high numbers. However, there are a couple of things that need to happen, right? Or how is the Latino community being engaged, right? Not necessarily that the Latino community is not engaged. We know, and again, as Rafael pointed out, is that Latinos are listening, right? Are paying attention. They are following very closely the election. Again, part of our tracking poll suggests that nearly three quarters of all Latinos are following the Senate and congressional races really closely. So we know that they're engaged. However, what ends up happening, and we're seeing with the numbers this time around as well, is that half of Latinos have not been contacted by either party or campaigns or even nonprofit or organization. That means that there is a lot of opportunity to continue to engage the Latino community on the issues that really matter to them. And I think this is really key because a lot of the time we put the onus, if you will, on the Latino community as to, you know, why is it that the voter turnout numbers might be low in a particular race or a particular election? But again, making the investment, you know, really pouring the resources to be able to engage the Latino community in a really meaningful way is really key and important. And we've seen that in other tracking polls where we're able to break it down by state, where we do see a bit of a difference with regards to where that contact might be. And certainly California gets a lot less, certainly. And then, you know, I mentioned a couple of states, certainly Florida being one where there is a little bit more of that contact that is happening within that state. But certainly other states like Georgia, as I mentioned, North Carolina, again, the battleground states.
Yeah. And Rafael, any thoughts on that in terms of the outreach that's done to non-Latinos versus this situation where maybe half of Latinos are not even being contacted sometimes during the campaign?
Well, I don't have sort of definitive statistics handy. I think it's pretty clear that if you see the sort of unprecedented amount of spending that's going on around the country, around this political cycle, certainly for a midterm election, and while you see that as compared to this gap of investment that's being made to engage Latino voters, particularly by both political parties and many candidates, I think it's pretty clear that there's a clear underinvestment that is not equitable to the mainstream spending that's happening. There's an unprecedented amount of spending happening.
And part of that is that campaigns tend to spend money on voters that they think are already predisposed to supporting them, right? That they want them to turn out.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, James, because it kind of works both ways. That can work both ways, unfortunately, to the detriment of Latinos. So we'll see in some cycles where, you know, Latinos are assumed to be a quote unquote base vote for one party or another. And they're sort of neglected at times because of that assumption. And now where, you know, there's been this narrative, which is certainly very debatable about it, what it is in reality, that in certain communities, Latinos are either drifting away from Democrats, or some would even say shifting towards Republicans to some small degree in certain communities, then parties or some campaigns are choosing to not invest because they feel like we're flaky, we're not reliable, we've already decided one way or another. And so it just seems like whichever way we're characterized, that seems to be an excuse for the political establishment to ignore us or underinvest in reaching out to us, when it's actually the opposite, that a lot of our opinions, we have very strong opinions, as Dorian discussed, about our issues. We just simply want someone to speak to us authentically and address them. And so when that's not happening, that's when you have a vacuum of information and possibly a drop off of interest in people going out to vote. And something I know you want to talk about a little later around, that's where misinformation can creep up and become more prevalent and more impactful.
Well, let's talk about a couple of issues with regards to potentials for misinformation, if we can, right away. I know that women's reproductive rights obviously have become a major issue around the country for so many voters since the repeal of Roe v. Wade and all of the chaos that has kind of ensued around the country with regards to abortion rights and all of that. And typically, I suppose the stereotype might be that, oh, Latinos tend to be more conservative, so they're going to be less in support of abortion rights. That's not the case, is it, Dorian? I mean, what are you seeing in your numbers?
That's right. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, certainly Latinos see it as the second most important issue in the battery of issues that we asked for Latinos that are answering our survey to look at and see which one is most important and so forth.
And just real quick, did that surprise you as someone who is a researcher who's been gathering these kinds of numbers for years?
You know, I think in so much that it was surprising, especially when we're looking at it in comparison, right, to 2018 or 2020, where the numbers hovered roughly around 4% to 5%. So one of the things that you know, in looking at issues, certainly, is that certain issues, you know, become top of mind, for example, and others are still important. And I think one really good example of that is immigration, where immigration continues to be a very important issue for Latinos. However, it's not in our top 10 this midterm or leading up to the midterm election. Now, that does not mean that Latinos do not care about immigration issues. It's just simply that there are other issues that certainly are more top of mind. And certainly the economy and inflation and so forth are going to dominate how Latinos are going to be looking at everything that they're doing, right? Partly because, you know, they're being affected by in so many different ways. We saw something very similar happening around COVID. In 2020, the top issue was COVID, and rightly so. Latinos were disproportionately affected by this. But I think the other thing that we can really point to is whether Latinos are supportive of legislation that would allow for guaranteed access to abortions, for example. And what we've seen consistently, at least with our tracking poll, when we first started in our first week, we saw it at 77% saying that they do support passing a law to guarantee access to abortion for people who need it.
And those are extremely high numbers. I mean, to support anything. I mean,
right. And that's, you know, that's part of it, right? Is that it isn't so much that they see it as an important issue and a top issue, but they're also very supportive on passing a law to guarantee access to it.
If I could just jump in there, this is Rafael Collazo. I think that the piece here that I think our community understands, besides sort of the implications around our civil liberties, particularly for our women in our community, but also I think they see the criminal justice element to this, that the reality is that not only will lack of access to get a legal, safe abortion in this country disproportionately impact Black and Latina women and Black and Latino families, but potentially the incarceration rates and the criminalization of young women in our community is going to arguably disproportionately impact Latina and Black women. So I think they're seeing this issue from many dimensions.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't, I'm sorry, finish your thought, Dorian. I wanted to go to a separate topic, but you had a final thought.
Yeah, no, I think the other thing is just, you know, one final point is that there are other issues too that are very similar to the way that Latinos are looking at it, right? I think one of them that, again, we don't really think of a Latino issue, if you will, but certainly when we think about it, banning assault rifles nationwide, for example, has had 71% total support versus 29% that oppose that. And again, I think it's also because the issue has been top of mind, certainly, and the terrible sort of news from, you know, in Texas, certainly, in affecting the Latino community so closely, certainly, that could have played a role in that. But again, it's just more illustrating the fact that Latinos do see many different issues, and the way that they see them is not necessarily sometimes the way that most people view or think that Latinos are viewing these issues.
But yeah, there's an old cliche in the Republican Party, and this is me saying this, not you guys, that Latinos are conservative and they just don't know it. If they were perhaps as conservative as some might suggest, you would think that they would be much more against, you know, gun control measures and that sort of thing. And this kind of runs counterintuitive to that. Democracy. This, of course, is a huge issue because there are a lot of election deniers around the country running for office, and some running for major office, for instance, in Arizona and other states. And the idea, of course, that you can't have any other right unless you have a democracy. Everything else falls by the wayside, whether it's your position on the economy or abortion issues or gun control, et cetera, et cetera. Where are Latinos in terms of this big question about how much this election has to do with the preservation of democracy? Rafael.
We are definitely starting to see the democracy flag rising up in polling. I would say not to the same degree as Dorian laid out as the economy and to combat the rising cost of living. But certainly it is something that as the election cycle is starting to come more into focus and individual candidates, if you will, are starting to show their cards, that the Latino community is increasingly becoming concerned about as the races take shape in their community.
And one of the on the left point that has been repeated around the country is that part of what's happening at the state level, and particularly coming from some major Republican candidates, are efforts to suppress the vote of people of color. And of course, that includes Latinos. And that's been a big conversation here in Arizona and other states. So that's, you know, that's part of the context of this. And so you would think that Latinos as voters would be paying attention to the issue. Dorian, any thoughts you have with regards to where democracy falls in the ranking of the issues that are important to Latino voters?
It wasn't an issue that we were looking at, certainly, at least for a tracking poll. However, we did ask a series of questions around disinformation and misinformation.
Yes.
And one of the things that we found specifically was around, was there cheating and election fraud in 2020 and Trump was the true winner of the election? And one of the things that we found, which is, again, a little bit troubling, is that 39% think that it's mostly true or mostly true than false. You know, while the majority are saying that it's mostly false or mostly false than true, you know, again, a large portion of the community does see it as something that has some truth to it. And I think this is sort of speaks to how and what might happen for the upcoming election, whether there is going to be a lot more sort of, it's somewhat of a apprehension, if you will, in trusting the election and the process and so forth. And that's going to be really important to ensure that you're mitigating, right? And certainly rectifying, because again, at the end of the day, you know, we want to make sure that you know, the system and the process and so forth is something that people can trust, because it could lead to the idea that, you know, again, some people might just simply not engage in the election because they feel like it's not trusted and not worthwhile sort of investing.
If you in simplest terms, if you don't think your vote is going to be counted correctly, then why go to the polls?
Right. And then this is also sort of coupled with the other aspect of the Latino community, is that if you're feeling like you're not being engaged, right, if you're not being contacted, you're not being sort of engaged in a meaningful way by candidates, so it sort of can exacerbate that sort of thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, create additional barriers. And this is about getting into the actual barriers that do exist in casting a ballot, whether you do know how to request a mail-in ballot, for example, or even just simply, you know, whether, you know, there's long lines at your polling location and so forth. Again, that just sort of adds to the overall sort of challenges that certainly can be there for this upcoming midterm election.
Rafael, 39% of the respondents in these tracking polls think that perhaps the idea that there was significant fraud or that the election should have turned out a different way, is that disturbing to you, concerning to you, and why would that kind of information be out there? Is it about misinformation, or is it about some sort of support in the Latino community that we haven't perceived before for much more conservative and anti-democratic candidates, for that matter?
Well, we certainly have seen, particularly during COVID, even though it predated COVID, sort of a rise in misinformation across the board. I think we sort of had, you know, at times during the COVID crisis, you know, kind of a more captive audience, people that were, you know, more isolated and were sort of susceptible to lots of information that may be passed along with them through these various social media channels and texting applications, and misinformation related to the political process, to the COVID vaccines, to politics across the board. It's just been very prevalent, and particularly prevalent targeting Spanish language voters and our Spanish language Latino community. While it's certainly very troubling to hear that, you know, there's a significant portion of the Latino community that has doubts about the veracity of the 2020 elections, it's not surprising, because what we found is that the major social media platforms have not invested nearly enough resources to combat misinformation in English language. And it's been even more porous in investment and oversight as it relates to information that's spread in Spanish language. So,
and we are heavy, heavy users of social media. Our penetration, for instance, of mobile phone use among Latinos is extremely high.
And we over-index in every major social media platform for lots of reasons, part of which is that we're, you know, we have a very young population, but just it's just culturally, we want to connect and stay connected to loved ones and family and friends. And again, it's from social media, it's from Instagram, it's from TikTok, it's from WhatsApp. There's a lot of avenues that information can get to our folks directly through their phones. And unfortunately, not nearly enough of it is being policed in a way that leads a lot of bad information to get to our community. And when there's a vacuum of accurate information and trusted messengers and platforms, as Dorian was discussing, can lead to a lot of misbeliefs about what's happening and just mistrust of the system, of all these systems and institutions in our country.
Rafael, if you don't mind, how do we counter this kind of pervasive misinformation that's happening now?
Well, there's a few things. One is that we have to capacitate our institutions to provide accurate information about the voting process. So Unidos US is working closely with our nearly 300 affiliate organizations around the country. And we're working with allied partners like NALEO to provide accurate information, toolkits, talking points, messaging in English and Spanish, so that our affiliate network can reach out to their client bases and their spheres of influence in their local communities to provide them basic information about the voting, their local voting process, the dates for early vote and different options of voting, which have increased since 2020, whether it's vote by mail, in-person balloting, early, what have you, absentee voting, what have you. And providing them the tools to not only get this information out to their client bases directly in the community, but also with their local media partners, like local radio and local social media and people that have influence in their local media ecosystem. So,
and this, this of course speaks to the responsibility, of course, of people who have any kind of mass media platform, that the information that we need to be conveying is accurate. Because it's not about countering misinformation that we may not agree with more misinformation that we happen to agree with. It's about accurate information, right? And letting people make a judgment. Now, if you could, in about 30 seconds each, how do Latinos get themselves engaged in this upcoming election?
I think Latinos are already engaged, right? They're, as I mentioned, they're listening, they're paying attention to the election. I think what needs to happen is continued contact to the Latino community on the issues that matter, knowing that they're very diverse and doing it in a way that I think it's meaningful, right? Not just from a transactional sort of perspective, but in a meaningful way. However, we also have to recognize that there are a lot of challenges, right? Everything from barriers, just something as simple as getting information on how to cast their ballot, for example. So there are a lot of ways that that can be done, certainly through, and Rafael has mentioned a few of them, but certainly being able to get official, whether it's the Secretary of State, for example, and providing that information, but also organizations working to do that. And I think the other thing, and again, something that we just cannot ignore, is the idea of disinformation, misinformation to the Latino community. And I think one of the key things for that is really around making sure that organizations, certainly like Unidos US or NALEO Educational Fund, or just simply other folks, really giving accurate, quality, and timely information to Latino community, from everything from just something as simple as how do I turn in my ballot and where do I go, to other things, and even in, from an election protection sort of perspective, whether, you know, there are long lines and whether, you know, you are being denied your right to vote if you're eligible and you're registered and so forth.
And if somebody is listening to this interview, are there resources that NALEO has where they can just go to?
Yes. I mean, you know, we do run a bilingual hotline, 1-888-VEIVOTA, and they can get additional information, whether it's just like, as I mentioned, something as simple as how do I cast my ballot, or if you're at the polls and you are noticing something that you want to be able to get somebody's idea of whether, you know, they can vote or not, or whatever it may be. If they have any additional questions, certainly they can call that number.
And repeat that number for me again. Repeat it.
It's 1-888-VEIVOTA.
Veivota. So Veyvota.
That is correct.
Okay, great. Rafael, some closing thoughts on what Latinos can do to just be part of this election cycle.
I would just have people listen to and reiterate Dorian's call around accessing the resources he laid out, especially the Veivota hotline, which we've partnered on for many, many cycles together, and support the good work of Naleo. Just really quickly, for information on, you know, kind of the basic voting process, election dates, deadlines, sort of state-specific voting information, you can always follow Unidos US on social media, unidosus.org, as well as We Are Unidos on social media.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for taking the time, being such a wealth of information, for being on Vanguardia America.
Thank you.
My pleasure.